whether it's the simple aspect of creating a picture and face tuning it, or even an alter ego. After you captured content, to modify it, amplify it, and perpetuate it into a certain way, that we can now create our own reality. It's much more than a virtual reality. It's actually a reality that can be perceived and monetized. So all these different aspects that never were available when people would just write books, make movies, TV, stand on a stage, we now can truly modify, amplify, and perpetuate in a personal level.
The Make and Grow podcast. My guest today is the infamous David Meltzer of Sports One Marketing. David is co-founder of Sports One with Warren Moon and author of several books, which we can see in the background there, a couple of them. One which is Game Time Decision Making, which makes it impossible for me to screw up telling you which one it is. And then Be Unstoppable. So David, thanks for jumping on today.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here and hopefully impact people. Be of service is truly my mission. So thanks for having me.
I love it. And that's consistent with one of your books, right? Which is, I always get it messed up.
It's Compassionate not- Capitalism. I got Compassionate Capitalism, Connected to Goodness, Creating the Life You Love, Game Time Decision Making. And my newest book will be Don't Do Business with Dicks. So
When's that coming out? Because I might have to like pre-order it.
Everyone loves the title. So I think for Christmas. I haven't decided. It's already written. So the problem is the books behind me keep selling so much. All the publishers are like, oh, you don't want to oversell yourself. So we'll see.
Do you have a number in mind that you're trying to get to? Like how many books before you can like retire or die?
No. For me, it's how many books I can give away. Here's a cool thing that for every book I give away, because I'll give anybody the books that I can. A publisher like McGraw-Hill won't allow me to give away my books. They have to sell them. But all my other books I own. So I give those away for free. The irony is the more that I give away, the more it keeps selling. And I never ask anyone, like I literally pay for my own shipping. Last year, 2019, I sold 5 times as many books as I ever sold. I gave away 5 times as many books as I ever sold. But, it makes me feel really good. People are just abundant, you know, and I think they just want to support other people. And that yellow book from Jack Canfield and I is all for charity for the Unstoppable Foundation. So, you know, obviously people are loving the support and to create a flow for people.
So that's an interesting fact. And that's amazing. I love what you're doing. It's interesting. So you think there's like a viral aspect to that where it's like people get a book, they talk about the fact that they were given this great gift and then other people go and buy it.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people, they just want to support you. I'll even say, they'll say, hey, where can I get your book? I said, oh, send me your address and I'll ship it to you. I'll pay for it and ship for free. No. Where can I buy it?
That's interesting too. I found that. That's funny as well. So where did you come up with like, you know, you've got this consistent theme of helping other people. Were you always plugged into this idea that if you help people, you'll get back? Or is that something that you kind of came to over time?
You know, I was born into a family of philanthropists and humanitarians and people who, the problem was, I didn't understand it, right? I wasn't benevolent, unconditional person that gave. I gave with a purpose of trading, you know, and it wasn't just trade, give to get, right? I truly believe the more that I give, the more I get, that's trading. And I always had some condition to my giving, either, you know, I wanted gratitude or I wanted respect or I wanted loyalty or I wanted name recognition. But I was a really good giver. My real problem was receiving. I know that might sound funny to people, but I just had an ego issue that I could do it myself. You know, I don't need anyone's help. I don't ask for help. I give help. And so understanding now with radical humility that the more I receive, the more I give, and that I'm consistently making room for what I want so I can give more with appreciation. I really believe there's 3 worlds. I lived in a world for a while when I was born with nothing, a world of not enough, a completely scarce competitive world where everything happened to me. I was a victim, you know, and I had separation from so many different things because I felt the universe was victimizing me. Why wasn't I born into that family? Why didn't I have this? Then I moved into a realm of just enough. I was a multimillionaire living in a world of just enough for me. Always more to get for me, Ferraris and Porsches and mansions and stuff like that, just for me. And I was giving though, but it was for me so I could give it to others so people would acknowledge me and everything about me. And that world's a scarce world too. Not quite as scarce as being a victim, but once I shifted the paradigm in my life to live in a world of more than enough, to truly trust, to have faith in everything I think, say, do, and believe, all the personality traits, characteristics, obsessions, and addictions I have, to really hone in and align to the fact that I live in a world of abundance, more than enough of everything for everyone, and all the decisions of my values, personal, experiential, giving, receiving values, are always aligned into that progression or belief system of there's more than enough of everything for everyone. Things will come through me. They'll come through me with appreciation, meaning I add value to it, to give away to others. And the bigger my pipe is, the bigger I am expanding by how much I can receive, the more I can help others. And that became the mathematical equation that I live by, that everything was going to come through me for others.
I love it because it's, you know, not only is it optimistic, but I mean, you're living proof that it's working. And I think you can have everything, and you kind of acknowledge that, but you can have everything and still have the scarcity mindset, right?
Yeah, I did.
And it's kind of a scary place because it's like you're always at risk of losing everything, I think, when you have that.
You nailed it, man. And there's people from Newport Beach to Manhattan to Mumbai to Paris, all the people, huge, even billionaires that I know, and they're wasting so much energy, creating interference and corrosion to the connection that they have, not only to other people, but to the most powerful source of energy, light. And they're already such high level, high frequency, highly activating people. And if they just could reduce that fear and anxiety and create a focus, not through fear, but a creative focus through abundance, they would even experience more success. And I love the fact that Bezos, for example, is starting to experience the idea of allowing things to come through him, donating $10 billion to the environment, Warren Buffett later on in his career, who, you know, is known for compound interest and self-financial stability, is not only, you know, given billions of dollars and committed all of his billions to charity, but also has encouraged other people to give at least half of their billions in his pursuit with Gates to do that.
I was just going to say, like, the Gates Foundation is kind of interesting. I don't know if you've seen Inside the Mind of Bill. It's kind of an interesting peek into how he's thinking on Netflix.
I love that. That was great. Everyone should watch that.
It really changed my perspective on how he thinks and approaches problems, but also, like, you know, there's always a lot of how do you put it, skepticism or negativity towards people that are on that scale, right? Because it's like, well, how did they get there? But when you watch that, you get an insight into exactly what you're saying, which is, you know, he's solving bigger and bigger problems, and that's what gets him interested in juice. It's not the dough, yeah. Right?
It's so interesting because I think there's two realms that are interesting places in the universe. One, and I've been there a lot, is when you're pursuing, people laugh at you, scoff at you, are skeptical of you, right? They vote for what they want for you, not for what you want. And then there becomes a period where you become successful and people cheer you, right? There's this like abundant, because you're not threatening to them. You know what I mean? And they cheer you because they want to be like you. And then if you reach this pinnacle of success, the kind of upper echelons of successful people, this notoriety of the top of the top, I feel like you go right back to the exact same space when you were trying to make it. People are voting for what you want. They're putting on illusions and conditions and judgments of you that are just not realistic. And in the end of that continuum, the lesson is vote for what you want. Be confident in what you're doing. Have the best intentions that you can have. Allow other people to have their judgments and conditions, but continue on your path consistently every day, persistently without quit, in the pursuit of your own potential.
I love it. That's an amazing message. And I think it's something that needs to get out there more and more, because there's a lot of weird built-in envy, I think, into other systems of thinking that's going on out there.
That yeah, makes sense, sure.
Right? I mean, maybe that's too glossing over how to explain it, but I think you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, people project, right? Mm-hmm. That's what I always say. You're not receiving information. We're projecting information.
Well, and what's interesting is I think everybody has this super amplification of what normally maybe 20 years ago was in their head. But with the whole social media thing, it's like, we know what everybody's thinking. And it's scary sometimes.
Yeah. Well, because, you know, you can present things, you know, whether it's the simple aspect of creating a picture and face tuning it, to turning yourself into an anime, to creating an avatar of yourself, or even an alter ego. There's so many different nuances of being able to modify after you captured content, to modify it, amplify it, and perpetuate it into a certain way that we can now create our own realities. And it's much more than a virtual reality. It's actually a reality that can be perceived and monetized. And so all these different aspects that never were available when people would just write books, make movies, TV, stand on a stage, we now can truly modify, amplify, and perpetuate things in a personal level.
Which can be good and bad.
Yeah.
Depending on what's going on in here, right?
And, come on, man. Tell everybody. Everything can be good or bad, right?
Well, I think that's the idea. Is I think we're saying is, why not choose good?
Well, I know we don't have that much time, but I got to tell you this, because people, I believe in past lives, right? I believe in having more than one life. And people like, how are you so sure? And I always tell them, I'm not at all sure, but I know this about myself. If given the choice, since I don't know at all, if given the choice, I can have this be my only life, or I can have a billion more lifetimes to learn and enjoy myself, I'm choosing the billion more lifetimes. So I might as well believe that. Right.
I love it. That's awesome. I'll have to, I'm going to have
to remember. Eleanor Roosevelt said, you know, it would be just, it's not strange enough to think that I'm in this lifetime as I could have been in some other lifetime, right? They're both as strange to think.
No, I love that point of view. That's awesome. So do you believe that you are the sum of the five people that you spend the most time with?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So who are the five people that are influencing you, or maybe the one that you try to spend most time with?
So Wayne Dyer is the number one person that I spend the most time with. I know he's not here.
I was going to say not the essence of.
Yeah. Well, I listen to him every single day, and I read and study that. Then my wife would be number two, my best friend. I spend the most time with her, especially. Then on the mentorship side, utilizing three people, number one, a gentleman who I wrote a book with called Blaine Bartlett, you know, he is a mentor, just a scholar, and really assisting me in understanding. Bob Proctor is another person.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, who, you know, on that aggregate. And then the head of my media on the young side, I have a 32-year-old head of media, Justin Pugh, not the football player, as an aggregate. I think it's important to have mentors that are 86, 70, you know, my own wife, and then a 32-year-old, and then a dead person. So I kind of have a
general. You went the full gamut.
Exactly. But they, you know, those people change. I'm just very conscious of knowing my values every day. And so more importantly than the five people I spend the most time with or their ideas, it's more importantly to not spend the time with people that are bringing you down or creating interference or corrosion to the most powerful source of energy and light that we're already connected to. So I'm very cognizant on not only making sure those five people that are teaching me every day, but more importantly, I'm not gonna, and this was a mistake I made early in my career, I'm not gonna allow myself to surround myself with people that create interference or obstacles for me.
I love it. It's an excellent example. David, I wanna be really conscious of your time. So I'm just gonna wrap up with three things. The first is, how do people get in touch with you, and what's the best way to connect?
So for me, number one way to get in touch with me is text me. So 949-298-2905, 949-298-2905. And if you're going to text me from this show, please let me know what the most impactful thing that you learned on the show is, because I believe, like Lou Holtz said from Notre Dame, it's not what I say, it's what you hear. And if I'm not getting an indication of what you're hearing, there's no benefit to me. And the better I get at clarifying my message of what's really impacting people is a great asset. Otherwise, just my name, at David Meltzer, David Meltzer on YouTube, LinkedIn, all the rest of them. My website's dmeltzer.com, first initial, last name. I love anyone to reach out to me. I do answer things myself. Just be patient.
Oh, wow.
I get more and more popular. It takes me a little bit longer, but I am very active, productive, accessible, and gracious, so I will get back to you.
That's amazing. Okay, well, how are you, David Meltzer, if you can sum it all up, how are you changing the world?
I'm changing the world by finding 1,000 people like you, Michael. 1,000 people that I believe have the capacity to impact another 1,000, to impact another 1,000. I'm going to change the world with my mission to help impact you, to impact all those people, just to be happy. And if I, in my lifetime, create a collective consciousness of happiness and abundance, which are interrelated, I will impact the world by solving the biggest problem that we have, which is happiness and the perspective and mindset of being happy and abundant and generous and kind, all the things that go along with being happy. So I appreciate the question, but more importantly, I appreciate you being one of those 1,000 people that I know can help me impact the other in order exponentially to get to over 1 billion people.
I love it and I accept it.
Awesome. Thank you.
And if I ever not live up to that standard, then I'm sure somebody will let me know. So
please, I will.
Thank you. I appreciate the frankness. Okay. So the final thing is, when we have interesting people on the Automate and Grow podcast, we like you to nominate other interesting people to be a future guest of Automate and Grow. So who would you, David, like to nominate as a future guest of the podcast?
I would nominate Jeffrey Fenster. Have you had him?
I don't think I have. No. What's his last name?
Fenster, F-E-N-S-T-E-R. Jeffrey Fenster is an entrepreneur, built a multi-million dollar business. He's 30 something years old. I have mentored him since he was a young lad, but an incredible journey of an entrepreneur and what I call a philanthropreneur has really understood at a much younger age than I have of how to create space in his own life by making a lot of money, helping a lot of people and having a lot of fun. And he's a great interview, extremely energetic and entertaining, but most importantly, he has some real bombs of wisdom for such a young guy. And I think it resonates in the millennial age since he's in his 30s and really can talk to a lot of issues that a 52-year-old, you know, is only prospecting on. He's living it. So he'd be a great interview for you.
I love it. So Jeffrey Fenster, you've been nominated as a featured guest of Automate and Grow by David. David, I want to thank you very much and acknowledge the great work that you're doing and encourage you to keep doing it. And I hope we get to connect again in the future.
You got it, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much. This has been another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. We will see you on a future episode of Automate and Grow.